right. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Evanston Vineyard family. I'm so honored and blessed to be here speaking with you guys this morning. If we haven't already met yet, my name is Irie. And before we get started, I just want to take a short moment to pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. God, we love you. We honor you. We're so grateful for your presence. Help us to have eyes to see you, ears to hear you, and hearts that are open to receiving all you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, thank you. So a little bit about me is I've been going to Evanston Vineyard for almost 2 years now. It'll be 2 years next month. And, oh yeah, woohoo! It's a great church to be. I've shared my testimony a few months ago, but I actually didn't grow up following Jesus. I had always sensed that there was a God, but truly, I didn't know who he was. I viewed him as distant and uninterested in everything that was going on in my life. But I got saved on my 23rd birthday when Jesus met me in a car. Yeah, it's good. Yes, he does. Well, I was at the end of myself. I was depressed, anxious, lonely, and at a point where I didn't even see the point of existing. I was actually planning to end my life when a voice spoke to me saying, "You have given everything to everyone else. If you give me everything, you'll have what you're really longing for." It was an incredible, supernatural moment, and even though I didn't know what I was saying yes to back then, I thought to myself, let's just give this a try. Since then, my life has been filled with his goodness. It's been filled with more than I could ask, think, or imagine. His shepherding has taken me on a wonderful adventure. He's redeemed so much of my story. But the best part is I get to have a relationship with a God who is near and very interested in what's going on in my life. Evanston Vineyard has been a huge part of this journey right now. This is a church where I've seen healing happen, freedom, where God can really form someone's identity, and people of all ages get equipped to live out a purposeful life with Jesus. I've witnessed it, and I've experienced it firsthand. This is also a church where I met my husband, Jacob. Sydney, if you want to put the picture up. Yeah, woohoo! Yeah, that's us. We actually met at a young adult small group here, and I remember the moment I saw him, I knew I just wanted to get to know him. Yeah. A few months after that, he asked me out on a date, and we got married just 2 weeks ago on July 25th. Yeah, I know. It was wonderful and blessed, and we were with our friends and family, and I want to give a shout out to Ben for officiating our wedding. He had such an amazing message, and we couldn't be more grateful to him. Actually, my grandma invited him to the Philippines because she loved his message so much. We couldn't be more grateful to this church as well for praying for us and supporting our marriage. This morning, I'm sharing with you a passage that really shifted my walk with Christ. We've been going through a series of life verses, which are passages of scripture that have impacted or guided our walk with Christ. This verse came to me in the early years of my walk with Jesus. I was so on fire for him and sharing the gospel. I was always reading the Bible and spending hours with him in worship, eager to serve, be in community. I was even ready to pray for people, and I remember that I didn't have a car at the time, and I was living in Minneapolis, and so I would take Ubers, and I would just ask the Holy Spirit, please give me the chance to like share Jesus with people on my rides. And so I remember I would always just be sharing. He would give me opportunities to pray for my Uber drivers, which was really cool. But my heart just burned for Jesus and for people to know him. But even with all of that fire and energy I spent, time, I realize now, and I even felt back then, that I was still so new at knowing Jesus himself. I remember one day I was in a Bible study with some girlfriends, and we were all in our mid-20s. We called ourselves the BFAM babes because we were doing a Bible study called Be Fruitful and Multiply. And we do the study in coffee shops just in case people who are curious about what we were talking about would ask us questions. And if you haven't heard of this kind of study, it's a story-based method that asks you to reflect on who the characters are, the actions, and the details in the story. And the goal is to focus on one verse at a time so it leads to very deep discussion. So picture a group of girls in a coffee shop just doing our weekly Bible study, and one of us decided to go through John 13. And when we read John 13, 1 out loud, I remember it felt like I could see for the first time. You know that feeling when you get new glasses after you're so used to the vision that you've had? It was like in those early years, I was looking at Jesus and I saw his shape and his form and I could hear him speak. But when I read this verse, it was like putting on glasses and seeing him clearly. So let's open up our Bibles to John 13, 1. I'll be reading the NIV version and it will also be up on the screens. It says, "It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Let's read it one more time. "It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." And one thing I like to do when I'm leading a Bible study with people is reading the scripture out loud together. So if you don't mind reading it one more time, and if you all can say it with me. "It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Thank you. Wow. Every time I read this verse, it amazes and surprises me. Before we dig in deeper, I want to do a little exercise. I want you to think about Jesus and think about at least one word you would use to describe him. It could be a characteristic or one of the titles that are associated with him in the Bible. There's no wrong answers, and if you're still not so sure about who Jesus is, that's okay. He can be a mystery or someone you're still getting to know. So let's just take a few moments and reflect on that word or group of words that you have. Now, if you don't mind getting to know your neighbor, if you guys can turn to each other and share one word you would use to describe Jesus and why, and we'll take a few minutes to just discuss with each other. That's awesome. Right. Let's come back. I hope you enjoyed reflecting on the Lord and maybe heard some new perspectives. For me, in the early years of following Jesus, I had witnessed him as a savior. I'd seen him work miracles, heal people. I'd seen him as a shepherd, a teacher, amongst other things. But if I'm being honest, I really struggled with thinking that Jesus loved me. I would hear people say, "Jesus loves you," or they would sing that song in church. And while in my mind, I accepted it as true, in my heart, it really didn't click. I think a lot of the reason why that was is because of how I grew up. The love that I knew was transactional, one-sided. And for me, growing up in a really difficult home, it was even dangerous. Even after getting saved and accepting Jesus as my Lord and the Savior of the world, I felt that all my baggage, my mistakes, my lack were reasons why Jesus could not love me. But when I studied John 13:1 that day, something in me shifted. So I want to highlight three things that we learn in this verse. The first is, Jesus knew he was about to die. The second, Jesus loves his disciples. And then the last, Jesus loves them until the end. So we'll start with the first thing that we notice here. First, we see that Jesus knew he was about to die. If you really sit and think about it, it's pretty wild. Jesus, like us, was born into this world. He had a family. He lived a life as a child, a teenager. And then as he matured, he started his ministry. During his ministry, he developed deep relationships and even had a close-knit group of friends. The Bible says in Luke 3:23 that he was just in his 30s. That's a lot of life lived, but also still so young. Imagine you knew you were going to pass and how it was going to happen. Imagine trying to explain that your time on earth was coming to an end to your closest friends and family. When I was reading this verse, I kept thinking about how incredibly hard that must have been. I'm a pretty sentimental person, so when I was moving out of my childhood home to move in with my now husband, I had a really hard time. I could not move more than a couple things at a time because every time I moved too much, it felt like too much change. And so there's still a lot of my stuff at my mom's house. It's a little bit easier for me to pretend like something isn't happening or just focus on something else when I feel a lot of emotions rising up within me. What's so beautiful about Jesus is that he knows what he'll have to do. He knows he'll die. And he'll leave his disciples behind. And yet, he doesn't skip past the opportunities to be with them. To teach them while he's still there. To even have dinner with them. He is completely engaged despite knowing he's about to go through humiliation, physical abuse, and ultimately death. We see that Jesus is fully focused on where he's headed. And yet fully present with who is in front of him. I think that's really amazing. And honestly, for myself, really hard to do, to be present with what's happening in front of you, the people in front of you. Which leads to my next point, that Jesus loved his disciples. If we can read that verse one more time, I'll read it for you guys. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus loved his disciples. It sounds so simple, but I really want to highlight that Jesus didn't just spend his time challenging the religious status quo or teaching or performing miracles in front of crowds. He also had close, intimate relationships with people, and he really cared for them. This part of the verse points to not only a missional side of Jesus, but an emotional one. It means he not only took the time to know them and be known by them, but he also opened his heart to feeling and living out love. Yeah. Jesus didn't let getting things done get in the way of loving others. If you're like me, it's so easy to get focused on what needs to get done or the next thing on the agenda. When I was coordinating communion, you might have seen me running around, always carrying something or going from point A to point B. And I constantly had to remind myself to slow down and be present with others. And not just be present, but like Jesus, look for opportunities to listen, to get to know people, to pray for them, to encourage them. Jesus being able to lead and serve while growing in relationship with his disciples is pretty remarkable to me. Another reason this moved me is that sometimes opening yourself up to this kind of love, this kind of intimacy with others, can put you in a pretty vulnerable position. Many of us know that entrusting yourself, your heart, your time to others, it can be really risky. And like Jesus, you can even find that that love is unreciprocated or even exploited. And another layer of this vulnerability that Jesus had is just knowing the pain of leaving the people that you love behind. The kind of vulnerability that Jesus shows in this verse is so deep and so brave. Him completing the work that was set before him, it never stops him from loving these people and believing in them to lead the early church in his absence. So the third point in this verse, if we can read the verse one more time. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus loved them until the end. If we think about that in the context of Jesus loving the disciples until the end of his life, we can see how much Jesus really loved them. It's fascinating because these same friends who walked with him more intimately than anyone else in his last days would all go on to hurt him in some way. Later in the chapter, in verses 37 through 38, we read, Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. It's not long after that that Peter denies knowing and being associated with Jesus three times, just like Jesus said. At this point in the narrative, Judas was already planning to betray Jesus. Verse 2 says, the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. It may be hard to picture because of how devastating Judas's betrayal was, but he was amongst the group that Jesus really loved. Jesus loved someone who got paid 30 pieces of silver to give him up. Now, these are the more famous betrayals and hurts that we know of the disciples, but the rest of the disciples hurt Jesus too. After he was arrested, in Matthew 26:56, it says, but this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Mark 14:50 says it simply, then everyone deserted him and fled. So Jesus, knowing full well that he was going to leave them to return to the Father, knowing what he was going to do, knowing that he was going to die, knowing what they were going to do, still chose to love them and show his love to them no matter what. No matter what they did or didn't do. That kind of love is so powerful. And what's even more amazing is that that is the same love he has for each and every single one of us. When I really sat with John 13:1 all those years ago, I remember the feeling of falling in love with Jesus himself. It was a moment of clarity for me that I saw a side to him I had never seen. Here was the King of Kings, the man who would die for all humanity. He has all authority. He made it so that we could be children of God. Thank you. But also, this is a man who really loves us. Despite our mistakes, despite the moments we stray, despite the times we fall short of the grace he has shown us. Like the disciples, he still chooses us and lavishes us in his love. I am still astonished whenever I read this verse. Jesus lived a perfect life and gave us a perfect love. There's a lot to be grateful for in that. A love that says, no matter what you've done, no matter what you'll do, I want you and I want you close. It's beautiful. Years later, I'm still learning the depth of what that actually means. I mentioned earlier how I just got married, and during the engagement season, the Lord was reminding me about this kind of love through Jacob. Growing up, I didn't have the best examples for marriage in my parents or in the marriages around me. Many of these relationships were filled with abuse and ended in separation or divorce. And for me, it made relationships really scary. I desired marriage, and when Jacob came along, I was so sure of that with him, but that kind of closeness felt so risky. I remember one day, I was still struggling with a lot of the anxieties and fears that I had about going into marriage. And Jacob asked me, okay, let's talk this out. What are you afraid of? So I did. I listed out all my what ifs. I would say, what if I lose my job? Would you still love me? And Jacob would say, I would still love you. Then I'd say, what if my appearance changes and I don't look how I look today? And he would say, I would still love you. I even said, what if I developed a severe addiction and I lost our money? And he said, I'd still love you and I'd still be married to you. I know it sounds kind of silly, but for me, someone who really didn't have the best context for love, this was really helpful for me. After a few times of that, I remember the anxiety started to wash off me. Jacob's commitment to me would be that he would love me to the end, to the full extent and to the very end of his days. And as beautiful as that is, and I'm so grateful, it is just a fraction of the deep and expansive love that God has for us and shows us through Jesus. When I read John 13:1, and when I read it then, I saw Jesus for the first time as my first love. When I felt no one else wanted me or chose me, Jesus did. When I felt I didn't have anything to offer, that I was not successful or impressive by any worldly standard, he gave me purpose. When I lacked faith or when I missed the mark in following him, he always forgave me and kept me close. Jesus is ready and fully prepared not just to serve and lead us as his church, but to be committed to loving us for eternity. This Jesus is heroic, faithful, near. There is none like him on all the earth. Jesus being my first love led me to respond to him with love. He was and still is the number one in my heart. He is the one who's at the center and the filter for how I live my life. And if you haven't given your life to Jesus yet, I just want to say that you won't regret it if you do. I never did. If you've been walking with Jesus for some time and maybe going through the motions of Christian life, maybe questioning or figuring out what this faith means to you now, maybe you just need that reminder of what it's like to be captivated by Jesus like you were in your youth. Maybe you just need to be reminded that Jesus really does love you, specifically you. I need to be reminded all the time. And when we see Jesus as our first love, not only do we get to experience this perfect love for ourselves, but it also shapes the way that we love others. John 15:12 says, My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. When we remember that Jesus loves us in this way, and we become transformed by that love, we desire to show our love to him, and he invites us to love others in the same profound way. Through his example, through his grace, through his spirit, we can. But it all starts with us receiving his love first. During my preparation for this sermon, I came across some writing by a religious leader and writer from Germany, Basilea Schlink. She was a co-founder of the Evangelical Sisterhood of Mary, so she was someone who didn't get married and devoted her life to following Jesus and her faith. And so she writes about first love with Jesus, or first love with Jesus in her book, My All for Him. She says, "Jesus began to reveal himself to me in his love. It was no longer a matter of any particular teaching. Jesus himself was the answer. My intellectual questions began to fade in the background, and all I wanted was to love him who had forgiven my sins, redeemed me, and loved me so dearly. He was now the great love of my life." She captures the way that I feel when I read John 13:1 so well, and goes on to say, "Joy had come into my life because I had found the one who loves me and whom I was privileged to love above all else with all my strength and being. And for many years now, I have gone through life with Jesus as the bridegroom of my soul. I could never find enough ways to tell Jesus how much I love him and to praise him in song as the loveliest and purest of all, majestic and noble, the joy of my heart, the one who brings true fulfillment into my life." Amen. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." My hope in speaking to you today is that you all would walk away with more awareness of the beauty of Christ, how the beauty of Christ is found in his love, in his heart, in his character, how magnificent he is, and especially how much he loves you. I hope that you would fall in love with Jesus or fall in love with him again. I hope that you would walk away more in awe of him and desiring to be wrapped up in his love. Through all of that, I hope that a desire to love others just as deeply and strongly would also stir up in you. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for revealing yourself through Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the love you've shown us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing Jesus more and more to us every day. Jesus, we thank you that you are our first love, the one that our hearts adore and long to be with, the one that we are made for. Thank you that we can find true fulfillment and purpose in you. We ask that you would help us to know more of your love and to help that love be reflected to those around us. We love you and want to love you until the end. Amen. Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. We're going to wrap up with some time in worship. Really hope that this time is a time where some of you get to just soak in the presence of God. Some of you might be experiencing Jesus's love. Some of you might be wanting to share that love with him. You just ask, Holy Spirit, come. Reveal Jesus to us. Help us to just sit and receive. Holy Spirit, help us to understand Jesus as our first love. Help us to just know that what a gift this is, to be loved by Jesus, a gift to love him.
Thank you. Yeah, let's just wait just another minute. Just come, Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for just the riches of your love for each and every one of us. God, we thank you for the abundance of affection that you have for every single one of us, Lord. God, I just pray that even now that you would prepare our hearts to be just completely made aware of how deep and wide and high your love is for us, God. I pray that you would create in us just the space to receive your love and to know what is already true, that you love us more than we could ask, think, or imagine, Lord. I pray that right now you would be opening our hearts to that truth. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Can we get another round of applause for Irie? I don't know. If you have any spiritual, physical, or emotional needs, there is a team of people here who would be happy to pray with you, so please come up and get prayer. Otherwise, thank you guys so much for coming. Go out and be the church. We'll see you next week.